Chapter 5, verse 24. 2 Samuel 5:24. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, God's Special Forces. God's Special Forces. Because it is Memorial Day, a time to remember the soldiers, sailors, Marines, I dare say the merchant seamen, the Coast Guard, and the airmen that have defended our country and our way of life. We celebrate them on Memorial Day. But I dare say that from a biblical perspective, Memorial Day has an even added significance because it should remind each and every one of us that every believer has defended and is defending and has defended our spiritual way of life. So with that in mind, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open up our minds to this text. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving for all the blessings that you give us. And as we come to this text, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to walk amongst us, to speak to every heart. And if there be one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, God, we pray that today would be the day of their salvation. We pray today that the captain of their salvation would call them to himself, that they might come to know Jesus Christ. Speak to every heart here. Bring conviction where conviction is necessary, edification, comfort, whatever is needed, Holy Spirit. We pray you would speak directly to your people. Let it be your voice they hear and not mine. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Yes, Memorial Day is more than just in a secular vein. It certainly is a day that we celebrate all those. I think the saying is that all gave some and some gave all. And that means there were many that never came home from battle. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. I would remind you that Paul, for his faith, was executed. But yet he continued to be in his faith. All the... As tradition has it, all the apostles found death except for John. They all found death for their faith. They were persecuted for their faith. They fought for their faith. And I dare say you and I, to this very moment, we also are fighting for our faith in one way or another. Christians, as believing Christians, we are a select group of people, of individuals who are called out. We're called out by a divine government to fight a war. And we're to fight a war against the most powerful enemies on this planet. Satan, sin, and self. You will never find greater enemies than those three. Satan, or what's that? Sin and self. So in every sense of the word, every one of you who are born again, every one of you that are truly born again, in every sense of the word, you're in God's army of saints, and you are special forces, in the same way that the secular military has special forces. In God's special forces, we're hostile to heresy, we're hostile to dark spiritual powers, to Satan, and we're hostile to every type of sin. We're hostile to it. We fight against it. We'll fight to the death. We'll fight to the death against every enemy of the cross. It's also important to note that unlike the secular world, or America's military, joining America's military, joining God's special forces is altogether different. To begin with America's military forces, you sign up for a few years or maybe even 20 years or 30 years. That's it. Instead, as a member of God's special forces, you don't put your life on hold for a few years or even 20 years. Instead, you exchange your old life for a new life. And that's for the remainder of your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any was in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That means you are literally in the special forces of God, a lifer. That's what we used to call guys who were in the military for 20 years. But in God's special forces, you are a lifer. You will be with him in that form for the rest of your natural life. And in addition to being transformed into a new creature, God's special forces are given a major overhaul. A major overhaul. To begin with, God starts off by giving you a new heart, and he seals his Holy Spirit within you. Proof verse, Ezekiel 36, 27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Every single saint, every single member of God's special forces has a new heart, a new influence. You have the same heart beating, but you have a new influence guiding it. And you have within you the Spirit of God within you. And then, after that, he equips his special forces with supernatural power. You're going to fight. You're going to need power. Luke 10:19 gives us the details. Behold, I give you authority, Jesus said, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. You have all the power, all of it. It's imputed to you. And being endowed with the power, the next thing that happens is that you are baptized into God's special forces, which really just demonstrates to the world that you are a member of an elite spiritual army. And you are. You make that demonstration when you talk about your salvation. You talk about how God has changed your life, and then you're baptized. And a spiritual armed force, as a spiritual armed force, your motto is, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That's the motto of God's special forces. And lastly, to back that motto up, God gives his special forces a spiritual armory, an armory that's packed with all the weapons of war that you'll ever need. Ephesians 6, 13 through 7. Paul writes, take up the whole armor of God. I like that. He didn't say take out what you like. He said take it all, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He uses that word stand. He doesn't say retreat. He's saying stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Your faith is a shield which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's what your faith does. When the devil or demons, or you're in any type of spiritual warfare, even with yourself, your faith is what quenches those darts of evil. It keeps you centered and it keeps you protected, your faith. And take the helmet of salvation and, most importantly, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take it all. With this equipment, God's special forces are armed and ready for spiritual combat. And make no mistake about it, the very moment you become saved, you become a warrior. You have to fight. People will ridicule you. Oh, you're going to church now. Oh, you believe in God. Oh, yeah, the cross in Christ. Oh, I heard it all before. Wow. What got into you? You need a crutch for life? What's going on with you? Hey, that's the start of it. And God gives you the equipment to get the victory over those things, even initially. Because generally speaking, when a person gets saved, God leads them to a church. And a church grows them up. Maybe not in everything, but there's always a beginning. There's always a boot camp. There's always a start. And God gives you all the power you need, and he gives you a place to learn how to use that power. And with this equipment, you're ready for spiritual combat. And now you need orders. I remember being in the military. I got my first set of orders out of boot camp. And I said, you're going to Key West, Florida. And I said, well, this military can't be too bad. I'm going to Florida. And it was great. I was there for 2 years. But the military orders are a very precise thing. And whatever they say you do, you do. And God's Special Forces soldier is given the same marching orders Fight the good fight of faith. Every one of us have those same marching orders. Whether you're living in Florida, Connecticut, New York, Pennsylvania, wherever, fight the good fight of faith. Those are the marching orders. No, June, it's okay. Fight the good fight of faith. And it's for sure. You can absolutely count on it. If you're truly saved, you will fight the good fight of faith for the rest of your life. You'll fight it every day. I guarantee you that even today, as you got up, you had to fight something. Something went through your head. You heard something. You saw something. A little tinge of anger came up. Unrighteous anger. It's a constant struggle. And that's what makes you special forces, that you can handle that. They only send the special forces out in places where the regular army can't do it. The Marines can't do it. They send in the special forces, the SEALs, the Green Beret. And in God's case, you and I. If you truly love God, if you truly love God, as the Bible says, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, if you truly love him that way, you will fight the enemies of God. You'll fight them, and you'll fight them every day, and you'll do that if you want to enter heaven. I tell you that because there are only battle-hardened veterans. Only they have a place in glory. Proof verse, James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. If you love God, you'll stand the test. He's given you all the equipment. He will not let you fail. He cannot let you fail, because if he lets you fail, then his son failed you. And that's impossible, because he's the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You'll never fail. As long as you stand fast in your faith, you'll never fail. I tell you this, you won't meet one saint in glory, not one will you meet, who doesn't wear the badge of faith and have the battle scars to prove it. Not one. Now, it's also important to note that the favorite, the chosen weapon of God's special forces is the sword of truth. I was going to bring my sword here this morning, but I forgot it. The sword. Hebrews 4:12 describes the sword this way. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's God's word. That's a sword. The reason the sword is our weapon of choice is because most of our battles are going to be hand-to-hand combat. There's no long-range fighting in spiritual warfare. It's up close and personal. You and yourself, or you and the world, or you and the spirit realm, it's hand to hand. That's why a sword is the spiritual forces combat tool of choice. Now, I want to make this clear. We don't wage war. I'm not talking about waging war against flesh and blood. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. Ephesians 6:12 teaches us our fight is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They're all around you. You know, people don't believe that. A lot of believers don't believe that. They don't believe that there are evil spirits out there attacking them. They don't believe it. But I tell you, just as sure as that sun shining in the window, they're there. There's a reason why God gives you ministering spirits, it says in Hebrews 1. Ministering to the heirs of salvation, it says exactly. That means there's a reason why you need ministering spirits. There was a reason why Jesus Christ needed ministering spirits, because he was tempted by the devil. And that's an evil spirit. And if they tempted him, they're going to tempt you as well. And then on top of that, the world is in the glitter of the world is going to try to draw you. And then on top of that, your will and your flesh are going to want to destroy your faith. That never happened. God has equipped you with so much stuff, it can never happen. You may go so far, you may become weakened, you may not stand, you may fall, you may backslide, you may do this, you may go backwards instead of standing. But sooner or later, The captain of your salvation, Jesus Christ, will come to your rescue and he'll strengthen you and you'll get back in the fight again. Every day, it's a fight. And by the way, the principalities against powers, against spiritual rulers and darkness of the world, talking about Satan, it's talking about devils, it's talking about demons and a host of other evil, vile spirits that inhabit our world. I dare say that the spiritual warfare you go through is probably greater than the everyday things you go through. Because every day you're fighting something, either inside of you or outside of it, internally or externally. It's going on. That's where battles are fought. The battlefield that God's special forces only fight on two battlefields. You're either going to do it internally with sin that's in your life, or you're going to do it externally. That's the world and sin in the world. It's spiritual warfare against demons. And warfare, and all warfare, doesn't matter if it's spiritual or if it's not. There has to be a battle strategy. You have to have a plan for victory. Nobody wins a war without a plan. And God, of course, has worked out a perfect strategy for his special forces. It's perfect. Actually, it's the same strategy he gave David in our text. It says, it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, then you shall act promptly, for then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. That's the strategy for David. That's the strategy for Mario. That's the strategy for Angela and Brian and Vinny. And that's the strategy for every believer. That verse. Nothing has changed. Why? Because the counsel of the Lord is perfect in every way. Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. So what he told David works for you too. The strategy that helped David overcome his enemies will also help you, Wink. It'll help you, Wendy. It'll help every Christian soldier to overcome your enemies. Now, how does that work? There's four elements in our text this morning I want to look at. They're the secret strategy that God has given man. In the beginning of the text, Samuel writes, it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees that you shall act promptly. I just want to take a second off and tell you something. I like the out of doors, and sometimes, especially in the summer with the leaves, I can sit outside and it doesn't matter where I am. If there's a gentle breeze and the leaves rustle, I think of this verse. I think of David and 500 or however many men he had hiding in the trees, and all of a sudden hearing the rustling in the top of the leaves, like a legion of angels were going ahead of him, fighting for him, disheartening the enemy. I think of that quite often. The first point in our text is that the Lord told David to wait. He says, it shall be when you hear the sound of the marching troops in the balsam trees. Wait. And when you hear that sound, you know I'm going ahead of you. David and his troops, they were hiding in the trees. And the Lord said, you stay there till you see that sign. What a lesson that is for you and I, isn't it? Waiting on God is one of the secrets to any kind of victory in this life, isn't it? Isaiah 40:31 reminds us, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I wonder how many times we run ahead of our Father. I often think of this thing I saw. There was this little boy, and he had to be, well, he was probably Paxton's age. And he was holding his father's hand very tight. I was at a red light, and they were waiting for the pedestrian light. And when it came, the father had to actually pull him a little bit and to get him go. Well, on his other hand, he had a daughter that was a little older. while she was trying to pull daddy, while the little boy was trying to get as close to his daddy as he could. And I thought to myself, that's what we do. We should be like that little child, and we should walk right beside God, hold his hand tightly. And we shouldn't be like that little girl who just wants to run ahead of him and say, come on, daddy, come on, let's go, let's go. You know, our timing is not God's timing, and we're very impetuous. We like things to be done at self-gratification and getting it done. Let's do it. Let's get it done. That's not God's way. We're to wait on the Lord. That's what David, that's the first secret in the strategy of defeating an enemy, is to wait on the Lord. And I tell you, David must have learned about waiting on the Lord, because in Psalm 27:14 he writes, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, says it again, wait, I say, on the Lord. Let me ask you, what about you? What have you learned? Have you learned your lesson about waiting on the Lord? Have you? Do you wait for him to lead you, or do you try to drag him around your life? That's a good question. You know, people used to say to me, or they still do, they say, hey, would you pray for this, pastor? Would you do that? Would you pray for that, pastor? I say, you know what? As the Lord leads me, I'll do that. And I can't tell you how many times, maybe a day, maybe 2 days. I just recently had that situation happen. Maybe a day or two, sometimes a week. And I'll make a call, and on the other end of the line, that person will say to me, I cannot believe that you just called me. They'll say that. I was just thinking of you, and I needed to hear your voice so bad right now. Being led by the Lord is a very simple thing to do. The first thing that you have to do is get rid of your impatience of wanting to get things done now, because that's all about you. When you wait on the Lord, you relax. Remember, I keep telling you guys, you got to relax with your religion. You can't get all worked up and say, well, we got to do this. You got to relax. I want to tell you, one of the enemies you're going to fight is your life. The way you organize your life is your enemy. Why? Because most of us organize our life in such disarray that we're constantly moving. You know, ask yourself a question. When was the last time I took a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or a soda and I sat out and I spent an hour just outside, just enjoying myself? When was the last time I didn't have something to do for an hour? When? When was the last time I shut my phone off for an hour? When was the last time I waited on the Lord? Test him. Well, I don't want to get into that right now. In a minute I will. But you have to understand that we the enemy is our lives. We busy ourselves up with so much of this life, and this life is not as important as we're making it out to be. And when people say to me, well, I have to do this, I have to do that, poppycock, you don't have to do that. You made your life so that you have to do that. You have to unwind it. If he was willing to get up on that cross and suffer, not to mention being born in this world and all the other things he went through, but to finally be on that cross and suffer for your sins and my sins, the least we ought to do is wait on him. He wants to lead you. What's it say in Romans? Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. We're most believers, believe it or not, it's tough to say this, but a lot of us are led by the flesh. Not good. That's not good. You are soldiers. Every one of you, and I know you may not think you're a soldier. You may think you're too young. You may think you're got a bad eye. You may think that you have children to take care of, but nonetheless, you're a soldier. I want to tell you something. In the military, and I can speak about that because I spent 4 years in it, it doesn't matter what your duty job is. I don't care if you're washing dishes. I don't care if you're a doctor, a nurse. It doesn't matter what you do. If a battle is in your life, then you better pick up a gun and you know how to use it. And the same thing applies in a spiritual realm. Doesn't matter if you're old, if you're young, if you're a mother, if you're unemployed, if you're employed, if you're depressed. It doesn't matter what it is. You're called to be a special force soldier to fight the good fight of faith. Because if you don't have the faith, you don't have the fight. And if you don't have the fight, you're going to live an awfully poverty-stricken spiritual life here. And when you leave here, what are you going to leave here with? Everybody says, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. None of that stuff is going with you. I have never seen a U-Haul going to a cemetery. Never. You're not taking it with you. The only thing you're taking with you is your record as a soldier for Christ. That's the only thing that's going with you. So you gotta just gotta organize your life in such a way that you have some time to wait, some time to think. People tell me all the time, oh, I pray at 10 o'clock, I pray in the morning, I pray in the Papi, get up. Pray every single moment of the day. And the way you pray is you just enjoy God. What do you think he's given us these days for and color? What do you think he's given us beautiful little children for and their cuteness? And what does he give us all this stuff for? Because in 5 days, he created creation. And on the sixth day was the crown of that creation, which was you and I. Jeremiah 31, whatever it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You've always been on his mind. And as a result of that, he's given you everything. And what do? We busy up our life. That's another enemy you have to fight. You have to fight your life. Because I tell you the truth, your life is trying to drown you. They're trying to drown out God's leading of you and have you lead, you be led by the world and the things that are in the world. That's exactly what's happening. And if you don't think that's true, ditch your phone. Ditch it for an hour. And do something for yourself for an hour. Just do it. If you're a mom and you got little kids, give them to the husbands and just say, you know, I'm going out for an hour. I'll be back. Do it. Because that's the only way you're going to understand what it's like to be led by the Lord. And when you're quiet, if you look at your bulletin this morning, what does it say in the front? Look at it. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. And man, in the 21st century, it's almost a miracle for anybody to be still. And I can tell you one other thing about waiting on God. I can tell you from personal experience, this is the absolute truth. If you run ahead of God, 9 out of 10 times, you're going to run into an ambush. I'm speaking from personal experience. You're going to be running away. You're not running away from God, but you're not being led by God. You're running at your own speed. You're going to run into life's ambush. And when sin ambushes a special forces soldier, when that happens, it sometimes leaves an indelible mark on your life. It does. So the key to remember, if you don't want to be ambushed, and you know we're our own worst enemies with that too, aren't we? We ambush ourselves. Key to remember is you got to wait on the Lord. He's heard your prayer. You pray for something. He's heard your prayer. He'll answer it at the right time, not your time. Remember, and this is another key thing to remember, he has a plan worked out for your life. So just wait for the details. That's all that David did. And look at him. He never lost a battle, did he? Second point, while you're waiting on God, you must be attentive to listen for him. I've said this from this pulpit a zillion times. You have to anticipate God. He's there. He's talking to you. He's relating to you. But you have to listen to him. And that's what he told David. You must be attentive. In David's case, our text says, it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall act promptly. But he had to listen and he had to be attentive to hear him. Now, some have described the sound of marching in the trees as the footsteps of a legion of angels. Other people think it was the Holy Spirit. Whatever it was, God gave him a sign. And you know what it was? That sound was shock troops that God had sent ahead of David to dishearten the enemy. In a couple of other cases in the Old Testament, you remember? Was it Gideon with the 300? He had a bunch of, he had even more than 300. And God says, oh, you got too many. He says, go and drink some water. And when they drink a certain way, those are the people you keep. Send the rest of them home. You're only going to be fighting against like 10 times that many men. But I'll fight your battle for you. And he went out and he disheartened them. That's what he does. And he strengthened Gideon and the soldiers as well. David's only responsibility at that point was to wait and to listen for God to help him. I told you that God is always speaking to his children. And how does he speak to you? How does God speak to you? I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and it was a very strange conversation. And I guess God spoke directly to his heart and was telling him things that were absolutely contrary to Scripture. And no matter how much I tried to explain to him that God wouldn't do that, he wouldn't accept that. But I want to tell you, he does. God will never talk to you about anything that's outside of his word or contradicts it. Never. And if you think he's speaking to you, you better take another look, because it ain't God, it's the devil. First of all, he may speak directly to our spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're the children of God. You know you're saved. How do you know you're saved? Because sin, when you offend God, you feel that. You're offended yourself. You said, how could I do that? You know you're saved because the things of God are important to you. That's the spirit within you speaking to God's spirit. It's exactly the way you know that you're saved. We also know he's speaking to us because everything he says lines up with Scripture. I just said that. John 8:31 and 32. He says, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's how you know it. And secondly, John 10:27 says, we read that this morning, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know your Lord's voice, and his voice comes out of this book. How's another way he speaks to us? He does it through his providence. He'll put things in your life. He'll take things out of your life. How many times has that happened to you? Where all of a sudden something's going along, and oh, I didn't see that coming. Oh, okay, let's move on. And you move on. And then all of a sudden, something's there again. Things happen in your life every day, both good and bad. And that's all part of God's providence. For example, it's not coincidence or chance that I'm standing here in front of you in this pulpit this morning. It's not luck or chance. Over a decade ago, there was a great spiritual war that went on in this very room. Bloodshed, spiritually speaking. Spiritual war. And the Lord providentially arranged my life by putting different people, conversations, churches, and events in my life so I'd end up here with you today. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been here had it not been for his providential plan of somebody couldn't make it. So they said, well, would you fill in because I can't make it? I said, okay. And I filled in. And then another time, well, I can't make it again. Will you fill in? Yeah, I'll fill in. And that happened several times. And finally, the guy just said, you just keep filling in. That's how it happened. And it was, this place was filled with tares. It was just filled with tares. And God cleaned it up. And the only reason I'm here is because that guy had another plan over there and couldn't make it here. So I came. And I told him that when he told me what kind of a church it was, I told him, well, I'm not going to wear my best suit up there because I'll probably get tarred and feathered when I'm done. But that didn't happen. So providence, that's why I'm here. And the same is true of each one of you sitting here today. You guys didn't just say, yeah, you know what, let's go to Northfield and go to see if they got a church up there. You didn't do that. You were called individually. You were driving by your church. You were going to a church and it wasn't open, or you missed it or something. You said, well, let's go up the street. I hear there's one up there. And you look, boom. It wasn't luck, chance, or coincidence that you got up later or whatever, or misdiagnosed the time they opened. Same with Mario and Judy. Same with these guys. Charlie's walking up the street with his daughter. Said, oh, maybe I ought to try that church. Boom. Same with Wendy and Carrie. Carrie. Grew up in my house. She grew up in my house. You know, she comes to church and somebody says to her, pastor lives in Torrington over there on a certain street. She says, 44 certain street? I said, yeah. So she says, that's my grandparents' house, right? And previous to her, another lady was here, and the lady that I bought it from, she owned the house, and they were coming to the church. He was a doctor, and he had retired, and she was his nurse, and she was going to California. That's not chance. That's not luck. That's the hand of God. And I tell you this, each and every one of you, if you sat there and thought about it long enough, you could each come up with something that you absolutely know God did put you in a place or said something or did something providential in your life. That's how you know you're saved. So he speaks to you through his providence. As a member of God's special forces, he wants you to fight your battles here. That's why you're here, by the way. That's why you're here, because you're fighting the spiritual battles you're having to fight, and you're doing it here in Northfield with the children of Northfield. And you're doing it here with the absolute truth of his word. You'll never hear me tell you anything about maybes or ifs or could be. No. It's yes or no. Simple. That is what the absolute truth is. There's no wiggle room. And you're here for that reason, because he wants you to hear that. And he wants you to put it in your life to help. And I got to tell you, there's no better way to fight. I don't know how many of you have ever been in altercations. But I got to tell you this. If you're not sharp in an altercation, you're not in good shape, you're not going to do well. And the same thing applies in the spiritual realm. If you're in the spiritual realm and you're not in good shape, faith-wise, knowledge-wise, you're not going to do well. And I know a lot of people that are believers that have not done well because they were in churches that didn't really build them up, that didn't give them the absolute truth. They were more interested in keeping them happy. Honestly, I checked the guidelines in the scriptures, and there's nothing in there about me having to keep you happy. It's all about me teaching you the truth, period. That's it. Period. So your conditioning is very important, and if you're in a place that will just give you that truth, regardless of whether you like it or not, then you will be very successful, or you'll be more successful in fighting all the battles you have to fight. How else has God talked to us? He does it through signs. I'm not getting charismatic on you, but there are signs. In the book of Judges, Gideon asked God to give him a sign that he was speaking. Now, here's this farmer, and all of a sudden God's talking to him out loud. And he's looking around like, me? Okay, you want me to fight for you? I'm a farmer. I'm cleaning the threshing floor. And he says, well, you know what? If this is really God, I'm going to lay a fleece out. I'm going to lay a skin out. And I want you to, if it pleases you, to make the top dry and the ground wet. And he did. And the next morning he says, wow, but I still don't believe that. That can't be me. I'm a farmer. I'm not a military guy. So he says, let's do the opposite. Make the fleece wet and the ground dry. That's what he did. That was a sign. That was a literal sign that he gave Gideon. And Gideon said, okay, let's go. And he went and he did what God wanted him to do. And I dare say that each and every one of us has at one time or another heard God or felt God or seen God working in our lives in some way, shape, or form. We all have. I'll give you an example. How many times have you been listening to the radio, or you'll be listening to somebody preaching on the radio, or somebody, a brother or sister, will be talking to you about something, and you'll come here, you'll go downstairs to Bible study, and that's exactly what we're talking about. It's a confirmation. Or you have a problem you're dealing with and you're not quite sure what to do, and you'll come to church and you'll hear a message that just hits you and says, oh, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Those are signs that God is speaking to you. They're signs. And then there's doors. There's doors in your life that all of a sudden that weren't there before, that all of a sudden just open up and you, oh. And there are other doors that close. They slam shut. And that's a confirmation that God is speaking to you. Or perhaps a perfect set of circumstances suddenly appear. Well, you know, I wasn't looking for this, but look how it all turned out. I really should act on that. That's God. Listen, it's either God and his providence, or you're a heathen thinking it's luck, chance, or coincidence. It's really that simple. It's God's providence coming to you in technicolor. You can see it. You can feel it. Sometimes you can even smell it. God is showing you his will for your life. My third point is God told David, and he's telling this congregation, the Lord will have gone out before you strike the army of the Philistines. Beloved, if you learn anything from this preacher, if you learn anything at all, I pray you would learn that every battle you fight in this world, every battle belongs to God. Every single battle belongs to God. It's his battle. And he will either deliver you from your enemies or he'll carry you through the battle. But in either way, you will always have the victory. Why? Because you belong to Christ and he always had the victory. And through him, you always have the victory. Always. Proof verses, they abound. David, the teenager, he was probably about 15 or 16, according to some commentaries. What did he tell that big guy Goliath? You know, the guy with the shield that weighed, I don't know, too many shekels. It was huge. What did he tell him in 1 Samuel 17:47? He looked at him and he said, the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He knew it. That young man, David, knew it. And that's how you have to look at your battles. No matter what it is, you have to remember that it's God's battle and he'll give you the victory over it because he promised he would. How about 2 Chronicles 16:9? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him, who love him. He's always looking around trying to help you. Well, metaphorically speaking, so we would understand it. And how about Psalm 23:4? How about that? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's his battle, and he's in it with you all the way. My point is, the victory has already been given to you. All you have to do is claim it. And you claim it by being obedient and submitting to God. That's how you do it. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of this overcrowded life most of us have. And the victory is yours. You just have to claim it. So when the devil comes knocking on your door, fear not. Because the captain of the special forces, Jesus Christ, has already defeated the devil. He doesn't stand a chance. He's already defeated. He affirms that in John 12:31. That's the proof verse. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Or when you find yourself in a refiner's furnace and the heat seems unbearable, like how am I going to get through this? Paul assures us that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. Or when illness or disease brings you to the threshold of death, or if you're a caregiver and you're suffering with that person who has the disease, God's special forces should not fear because they have Isaiah 43:1-3 as backup. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's your promise. It's the Lord's battle. You're just swinging the sword. And when you're battling the world, fear not, since the victory has already been won. John tells us that in 1 John 5:4. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Beloved, everything I'm telling you has to do with you understanding what you have in God, what you have in Christ, rather, and what you need to do in order to gain the victory. And it's very simple. Stand fast, wait, listen. And next, the final point, Just wait on the Lord and listen to him speak to your life. And after he's gone out, then our text says, you shall act promptly. That's the fourth point. Act promptly. That means after God has done his work, then his special forces must unsheath the sword of truth right here. And you must attack the enemies of the cross wherever they are, whether they're within you or they're external or internal. You need to attack them with the truth. Only that. And when I say attack them, I'm not saying personalizing. I'm talking in the spiritual realm. We never should attack people face to face and just attack them. That's not what I'm referring to. The enemies of the cross, wherever you find them, the truth will cut them. The truth will also cut you. If you're a soldier of the cross and you're not right with God, you'll feel that sword cut you as well. It's called conviction. And I would remind you that the key words in that command is, you shall act promptly. God uses the word act promptly because in all of creation, no matter what there is in this world, in this universe, nothing grows or hardens a heart more or quicker than sin. Nothing. How about a few examples? A casual glance at Bathsheba on a rooftop turned David into an adulterer and a murderer. The love of silver turned a disciple of Jesus Christ into a traitor. The loving the world turned Lot's wife into stone, and Demas, for the love of the world, apostatized from his faith. I dare say right now, there isn't a heart in this room that's not incubating perhaps just a tiny flake of sin in their heart. And I tell you, there's nothing that will grow faster or harden your heart more than even a flake of sin. Now, that may be unrepentant sin you may have. It may be pride or envy or lust, something that you're hiding or attempting to hide. Or it may be unacted upon sin, thoughts that haven't materialized in the physical act yet. In either case, our text is telling you and I to act promptly. Get rid of it. That means take the sword of truth and cut it out of the enemy, because it's burrowed into your life. Get rid of it. Cut it out. This book gives you all the power and all the strength you need to do it. Remove. Just absolutely remove the serpent's head. I have a rule I learned during the battle in Northfield. I learned this. When I would be here and I would see just the head of the serpent, just this much of his head, in a conversation or in a person or in two people getting together and trying to cause some dissension, I'd go there, I'd take this book, and I'd say some words out of this book, and it cut the head right off. They couldn't answer it. They just stopped. That's what you have to do with sin. That's the power of God's word. God has given us special forces the victory. All we have to do is claim it. And how do we do that? By planting the banner of Christ in our lives. You have to plant the banner of Christ in your life. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's your victory. Now, if you're tired, if you're listening to this and you're tired of not being victorious in this life, because you haven't, you're not a member of God's special forces. Your father is the devil. John 8:44 says, if you're outside of Christ, but you feel God calling you, then you call me and I'll show you how to exchange your old life for a new life and also a new master to serve. And for you guys, my brethren, you know you are in God's special forces. So use the power he's given you. Use it. Don't be afraid to use it. Don't get so busy with life that you say, well, I'll do that a little later. Promptly, act promptly. Use it. Take up your sword. Face your enemy, sin. Then do your duty and cut it out. Cut it out of your life. Now take that message home and remember the four points. Wait upon God, then listen to him. Wait for him to go out before you and fight for you. And then act promptly. That's the strategy that God has given all of his special forces soldiers. So take that home and start claiming victories in your life in the parking lot. Let's pray. There's a lot of material there, Lord, but you know what? The battle we fight is so intense. It's so pervasive in our lives. It's every day. And sometimes, Lord, it almost seems unbearable that we have to continually fight. So sometimes what we do is we try to ignore sin. We try to ignore the fact that we build up things in our life that have no business being there because we're too busy. Would you help us with that, Father? Would you help us to remember to act quickly, abruptly, when we know there's something wrong? Would you help us to unbusy our lives? Would you help us to shut off our cell phones and go sit out on the deck or the porch or in the woods on a log by a river, wherever, Lord, and just wait on you? Refresh us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We are your special forces. We are Christian soldiers going off to war every day, and we need your strength to do it. Would you give us the wisdom we need to heed this message and to use it in our life every day? In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is in 173. We'll stand and sing Praise Him, Praise Him, Praise Him. 173. Red hymnal.